Welcome to the Understanding Our Times broadcast, with bold and insightful discussion of current events in the light of a Christian worldview. We count it a privilege to bring you a variety of guests with thought-provoking analysis and commentary on a weekly basis. And now for today's show, here's your host, Kevin Thompson.
Welcome to the Understanding Our Times Internet Radio Broadcast. I am your host, Kevin Thompson, and thanks for joining us yet again for another exciting week of excellence in podcasting, to paraphrase the famous Rush Limbaugh. Well, I do thank you for coming, and we do have an interesting broadcast lined up for you today, especially if you are a graduate. I want to send up my congratulations to the class of 2011. Job well done, at least for some of you. This week, I'm going to be actually in Iowa. I'm hoping to meet some of our presidential candidates, get them on the program, record some questions for you. But as I'm away, I'm going to be airing this commencement address I gave to the graduating class of 2011 at Rock County Christian School. Now, you'll notice some of it's more focused on that class, and some of the humor you might not get, but I think the main thrust of the message is important for all people, not just graduates, but everyone. Because my main message, my main theme is to pursue Christ. Don't settle for a mediocre Christianity. And I think that'll benefit us all. So, without any further ado, I'm going to let myself, speak for myself. This is my commencement address to the class of 2011.
Class of 2011, you have made it.
Yeah.
You're finally here. But first you need to listen to me. I thought I'd begin with a couple of memories from this year. I thought of this solemn occasion, what better way to start off than a top 10 list. So, our top 10 memories, the class of 2011. Number 10, let's see, Lucy, oh good, you're here. I want to make sure I notice you. I acknowledge your presence here. Sometimes in class, we won't get into all the details of Mr. Beaver since he's really here. By the way, Jose, thank you. You had a traitor amongst you. Thank you, Jose, for pulling me into that. Number nine. Tasha, did you remember the time this is my theology class? Where you were awake. Yeah, I don't remember that time either. So, we'll move on to number eight. And let me just interject here at number eight. Dora, I'm sorry. We don't have time for questions. We do need to move on. So let's move on to number seven. I think one of the highlights of this year for me was the pro-life legislative conference we went to, though no one remembers that we went to it, because across the street were protests in Madison, in the Capitol. And as others were chanting, this is what democracy looks like, some of your graduates here were chanting, this is what a constitutional republic looks like. I felt like I've done my job. Number six. Tia, I will never forget your video on the Fourth Amendment. If you want to look at and see what law enforcement should be, stare into the scary gaze of Tia Clark. It will be a video I'll never forget. Number five, Luke. Never forget the heroic actions of Luke Scholl at the park, the playground. Saving small children from the lava monster, applying frozen whatever it was to wherever it needed to be. Unfortunately, I'll never forget that. Number four. My favorite substitute teacher wasn't Mr. Hamilton or Mrs. Fiefler, but Joseph. As my mentor, Joseph's job was to fill in for me all those times I was not late to class. Number three, who can forget? Rachel Carter Day. That was a couple of years ago now. Rachel told us the riveting stories of her time in Vietnam. Tales of the war were amazing and brought a little extra to our history class that day. Number two, the very first memory I have of Jack Ross. My first year here, Jack, you were a sophomore, I believe. Jack, you were amazed at the fact that I knew that Tom Brady had been chosen as the 199th draft pick, sixth round in the 2000 NFL draft. Now, little did Jack know at that time, that's the only thing I know about football. And little did I know, that's the last time I've ever amazed Jack Ross with anything. And then finally, number one. This was tough. I thought about different memories I'll take away. I thought about that, number one. Danielle, here's the one. You always seem to have a smile in class. I don't know what it meant. I don't know what's behind it, but I always noticed it. That's not going to be my goal. I thought, Josh, I've never heard you sing before. I've heard people beg you to sing, and now here, I thought, wow, that might have been number one, but sorry. I think the number one message I'll have for this class will be our tradition. Our tradition of our quarterly chats, our chats, when issues came up. And it seemed to get around the corner for some reason. And so, Sarah, I'm sorry, you didn't get to have these chats as much as everyone else did. I apologize. So we'll have one last chat right here before we release you into the world. So I'm going to read here from Philippians chapter 3. I thought about several different texts. I didn't know what direction I wanted to go. Fire and brimstone, just get one last good one. But to graduation, we'll overlook a couple of things that one time Rachel talked about. But Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. My final chapter, my final words of advice can be summed up in simply two words: pursue Christ. You will go down in the history of RCCS as the class that wanted to be. You didn't want to be like the classes that came before you. You didn't want to be like any other class at all. You wanted to be different. And I urge you to keep that attitude. Be different. Be radical in your Christian faith. Like Paul, strive, strain, purposefully and passionately pursue Christ like no other class has ever done. pursue Christ passionately as no other person ever has. Don't settle for a mediocre faith. Don't settle to be content like 90% of the people in church you sit around Sunday morning. Go further. Don't be content to settle for the faith, the spirituality of anyone else. Go beyond. Surpass the faith of your parents. Surpass the faith of the faculty and other students at Rock County Christian School. Do better. Passionately pursue Christ like no one else ever has. I guarantee you are. My goal for you is not merely to have said at this point, we have prepared you for the world that awaits you. I don't want to prepare you for the world. Instead, I want to send you into a world that's not prepared for you. Instead, I want you to live a radical Christian life, pursuing Christ, forgetting about anything else, to the point where other people find it a little uncomfortable. They don't know how to act upon you. They don't know how to take you. Because you sold out in your pursuit of Christ. You can do this. But Mr. Thompson, we're at that class. We're not. We're at that. We don't have the reputation that classes have. Well, as I go through Philippians 3, Paul did have that reputation. And he says, I count it as loss. He had the reputation of being a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had all of the religious checklist marked off. He had it all, but he didn't have Christ. So all of those things only led to pride and arrogance and drew him away from what he needed most. You may not have the reputation. You don't need it. What you need is Christ. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see, the Christian life is the pursuit of God. For some, they're content to be saved, and they're just waiting for rapture, they're waiting for heaven. They've missed the pursuit. They've missed the point. But you're different. Hungering and thirsting is the key. Why? Jesus himself said, we look back in the Sermon on the Mount. Look back at Matthew chapter 5. And we see, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? For they will be filled. I guarantee fulfillment. If your pursuit, if your passion, if your desire is Christ, there is fulfillment in this and in this alone. Don't settle for riches. Don't settle for a good job. Don't settle for a good marriage. Don't settle for a good career. Don't settle for anything. Pursue Christ. You know, when I think about hungering and thirsting, I don't think about that as being blessed. I think, you know, if I'm hungry, I am blessed after I've eaten something, I'm full. They are in pursuit of Christ. Jesus says it's in the hunger and in the thirst that you are blessed. Because of the pursuit of Christ, as Paul's talking about straining toward him, I run to that prize. There is joy and peace and contentment that can be found nowhere else but in that passionate pursual of Jesus Christ. Don't be like everyone else. How do we start? Maybe we need to look at Mark 9. Mark 9, we see a man who is burdened about his child, who is perhaps epileptic. He's convulsing. He doesn't know what to do. He cries out, just can you do something? If you can do something, please do it. And Jesus said, well, what do you mean if I can get? And the man finally says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Maybe we need to start right here at this moment. Lord, I don't have that passionate desire for you. I don't have that faith. I don't have that desire. Lord, spark it within me. Lord, start it. Do something in my life. I don't even know how to do this, but Lord, I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be focused on you. Forgetting about all these other hindrances. I want you, and I want you to develop that desire within me, even if I don't have it now. Help. I want to close here by looking at Hebrews 11. That my desire. Well, let me read it. Hebrews chapter 11, this great chapter of faith. We see all the great heroes of faith in the Old Testament. And we see here in the conclusion, verse 32, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, or David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained the promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. Wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. God provided something better for us. Graduates, you stand in a long line of heroes of the faith. It's your turn. I want you in this list. I want you so radically sold out for Christ that we'll say of you, as was said of these men, the world was not worthy of them. Pursue Christ. That's great. Dear Lord, I pray for each of these graduates. Lord, place within them a desire for you. Spark that ember within their hearts. Fan the flame. Lord, I pray that one day as we look at these graduates, we will not merely be proud of them as graduates of Rock County Christian School, but we will be jealous of them. We'll be jealous of their relationship with you. We'll be jealous of their spiritual thirst and hunger. Lord, you can work this.